Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we do bow here at this time, Lord, just thank you for the singing, the worship that we just had this morning, Lord. The word of God that we heard, Lord, was already filled and blessed. Lord, I just pray that you would just continue on, Lord, with the thought. Continue on, Lord, just blessing us today. And give me a few words to share here, Lord, for encouragement, Father. We know that you are faithful and just, so we just commit this to you and ask you to bless the remainder of the message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, you may be seated. Well, good morning. Just pondering that song that we sing, When the Ransom Get Home. Does that excite you? It did me. My heart was just lifted with joy. I was excited. Someday, when we get out of these earthly bodies into these heavenly bodies, I don't know. I can't fathom that yet, what that's going to be like. But we know it's going to be great. Are you longing? I trust that every one of us are longing for that day. I might have shared this in here once before. I'm not sure. But talking about longing to go to heaven, I trust that as you're raising your children up, you're teaching them about God, and I know you are, and teaching them about the kingdom of heaven and God is love and what it's going to be like. And that's what we did to our children, just impressing them, you know, the longing and their desire to go there. Maybe I shared that here, but when one day we were driving down the road and Jaden, he's here. He was in behind me. I might have shared that last time here. I'm not sure, but it just reminded me again. As I was driving, he was behind me in a car seat, and he was 4 years old, and he was saying, "Dad, look here." And I tried to look, and I was driving. I said, I tried to look back, and I said, I can't right now. He said, "Dad, look, I want to show you something." And I tried to look again, and I finally just said, "Dad, Jaden," I said, "I can't." I said, "I'm driving. If I look back, we could be in an accident." He goes, "Then what?" I said, "Well, we could get hurt, or we could even die." He goes, "Then what?" I said, "Well, then we go be with Jesus." And he was quiet, and he goes, "Dad, let's do that." A child's heart. That is a child. As he grew up, I watched him grow up as a child that loved the Lord Jesus. I see him grow up into the age of accountability where all of a sudden it wasn't so important. Then I seen him give his heart to the Lord. And he longs today to go be with Jesus. I trust that that's our heart as well. That we are longing to go be with Jesus. And I had some explaining to do to him that we can't go that way. We need to wait till the Lord comes and gets us. And I'm still waiting. And I'm longing. And I'm excited. just a few things here from yesterday, what Brother David shared at the message on the wedding. I always enjoy wedding messages, especially yesterday when he shared on the great invitation. He laid it out very well. I was blessed. We all need to be invited. As he shared about, we're at the wedding yesterday because we received invitation, and we accepted the invitation, and we made plans to go. And that's the same way with that great wedding coming, that great invitation. We all been invited. Have you accepted? Have you made plans? Are you making plans to go? But we're not going to just stumble into the kingdom of heaven. We're not going to just stumble into heaven. There needs to be plans made, as David shared. And I was blessed with that. There needs to be plans made. There needs to be preparations made. Like when we planned for the wedding yesterday, a few days before, we started planning what time we're going to leave. And we started packing. My wife did. She started packing some clothes, what we're going to need for a few days out here with Ken and Ange. And we made plans. And my wife did a great job. She brought all the things that we need. But the next, excuse me, on that great wedding feast that we're invited to, I trust that we're carefully planning our walk with God, carefully. But just a few things, a few words. Yesterday, as David was sharing, my heart was just yearning. I was rejoicing. You know that it says that all were called, but a few were chosen. That's the word of God. As David was sharing about that great invitation, that great wedding feast, and what it's going to be like, and I was looking around, I seen some, not too far from me. I don't know if they even lifted up their heads throughout the whole service. And they were talking and laughing, and one was on his phone most of the day. Many are called, but few are chosen. And it broke my heart, saying, "Man, he just opened up his heart." It made me cry for some of them young men, that they're missing it. And that is the majority of the world today, that they have no desire. They're too earthly minded, as the brother shared there. What is our hearts on? Is it on things of the heaven, things of the kingdom of God, or is it things of this earth? He shared on hunting and fishing and sports and all that. No, that's not wrong. But if that is our heart, then we're missing it. As I shared, we're not going to stumble into the kingdom of heaven. We need to be prepared. We need to be free from sin. We need to be washed by the blood of the Lamb. Before I start the message here, one more passage I'd like to read here in Matthew 9. Just talk about the foolish, you know, the Matthew 9:19. The foolish man, when he went and asked Jesus, "What must I do that I can be saved?" And we look at that every time I read through that. We just read through that as a devotion the other day as a family. And my heart just said, how foolish. He said, good master. And Jesus says, don't call nobody a good master. There's none good but me. But the Father in heaven. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit and have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep thy commandments. And he said unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, all these things I've kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? And Jesus said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now the next verse, it says, when the young man heard these sayings, he went away sorrowfully, for he had great possessions. And every time I read that, I say, oh, how foolish. Hanging on to earthly materialism, or whatever it may be, he missed eternal life because he could not surrender all. But you know what? Majority of this world is doing the same thing today. They have things in their life that they cannot give up. They have a sin in their life they can't surrender. They have a sin in their life that they won't confess. It's the same thing. How foolish. So let's be sold out and be ready when he comes back. We know that there are many who are called, but few are chosen. Many can't forsake all and follow Jesus. How foolish. I remember that some of my last things in my life I had to surrender. And it was hard. I counted the cost many times. And finally, I got on my knees and cried out to the Lord, and I never regretted it since. So, praise the Lord. But anyway, the message I want to share here today is Isaiah 43. Passages there, a few verses. And I don't have a very long message. I was not prepared for this last night. Mark reminded me to be ready in season, out of season. And he asked me last night if I would. And I told him I'd let him know in a few hours. And I went home, and the thought that came to me was when Mark asked me the last time to share, and I told him, not this time. The next day, I lost my voice, and I lost it for 6 weeks. And I think the Lord was saying, okay, if you don't want to talk, I'll take your voice from you. So when he shared, when he asked me last night, I was thinking about saying, well, Mark, it normally takes me a week to prepare a message. But then the Lord brought that to me, and I thought, well, I don't want to be 6 weeks again without speaking. So I have a few words, but mainly it's just a few words of encouragement to each brother. You know, just a lot of reminders. This is an elementary message. It's nothing new, but just a few words of encouragement to y'all. And God is a God of love, as we heard yesterday. Brandon shared, that was beautiful. God is for us. He wants us to be his. As it says here in Isaiah 43, as he was talking to Israel. Here, let's just read the first 7 verses for now. And I have a few thoughts. The heading of my chapter here, it says, the Lord, the only Redeemer. And as I ponder that verse, I came from a place where there was another way other than the Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus. And when I see this chapter here, I always think of that, how we were trying another way. And Jesus says, if you try another way, if you come in the back door, you're the thief and the robber. Because we were trying to do it with good works. We was trying to do it with good works outweighing the bad. I tried for 30 years, and that didn't work. That guilty conscience in me that would not go away, that void in me I could not fill until I called out to the Lord Jesus, and I got on my knees, and I repented, and the Spirit of God came. So the Lord is the only Redeemer here. Let's just read a few verses. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, thou shalt not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, the Savior. I give Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, that thou hast been honorable, I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. For everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yeah, I have made him. So just going through a few of these verses here, a few thoughts. But the very first verse there, where he told Israel, he says, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. That is the heart of God. If you're a child of God in here this morning, that is his heart. And this is, I want to mention, this is for the believers. This message is just for encouragement for the believers. If you're in here and you're at the age of accountability and have not repented, you're not going to maybe get all what I'm trying to share. But my message is here is for the believers to know that how God so longs for you to fellowship with him. I had this mindset for many years that God sat on the throne with a big stick. If you messed up, you know, he whacked. But that's not God. Yes, God does deal with sin. He hates sin. But he's a God of gentle. He's a God that is loving. And yes, the wrath of God, he will show his fierceness in the day of judgment. But for the most part, he tells Israel, thou art mine. You are his. If you're a child of God, he will do the same thing as he did with Job. Put that hedge of protection around Job. Even though Job went through a fire, he went through many challenges, God was with him. And it's the same way with us. Thou art mine. So we can praise God. In John 10, I have a several passages. You don't have to turn to each one, but just a lot of words just to encourage us. He says, in John 10:22, and it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of the Dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews around about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, if you believe not the works that I do in my Father's name, thou bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. And then he goes, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. If we're a child of God, he has written our name into his book of life. If we had repented of our sins and confessed them before God, he has written your name into the book. And he says that no man shall be able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Nobody but who? It's yourself. Only you are able to take your name, you know, or keep your name from the book. But it's God's heart. He's longing to have each and every one of us written, our names written in the book of life. He longs for that day to sit around the throne and worship and praise. We can praise him forever and ever. That's his heart. It says that no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Oh, my Father which giveth them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We are one with the Father. We're one with God. As I ponder that, knowing that my name's written in the book of life, that as Jesus says, as me and the Father are one, we can be one with him. And that is exciting. Let's not forget that. If we're a child, you know, Satan wants to come and a lot of times add condemnation. He wants us to drag us down, from the cares of life, from work life into ministry, whatever it may be. And sometimes you get fatigued, and I just got to, again, be reminded and remembered, no, that is the things of this life. Just last week, I was laying in bed early one morning. It was about 5 o'clock. I woke up and pondering all the stuff that's on my schedule. And I sit there, and all of a sudden, I just started getting tense. And that is from the devil. That is him. He wants to steal peace. He wants to steal the joy. He wants to steal that from us. As I was laying there and I was like, started tensing up, and I was just like, oh, how am I going to do this? Which I don't know how for sure. But I as I was sitting there focusing on that, and all of a sudden my peace was gone as I was meditating. Cast your care upon me, because I care for you. And I thought, Lord, you will make a way. What am I doing here worrying about this? The worry can do nothing. So again, I committed myself to him and I repented of just the faithlessness that I had there that morning. And again, I was filled with joy. So if we think on heavenly things, not on things of this earth, because the things of this earth will drag us down. Just to be able to trust, you know, in God in that way. And again, in devotions this past month, you know, we were pondering on. We hear a lot of people say, "Oh, he said that sounds so foolish." When you say that there's a God and that He came about or He always was, they say, explain that to us. Then I always say, "Well, explain to me when you tell us that we just evolved." I said, and I look at you, when I look at you, just this person just a couple weeks ago says that he believed everything just evolved. You know, we evolved. And I said, well, that takes far more faith. That takes far more faith to believe that than to believe that God always was. Because as you look at your body, as your body is perfectly made, we are created perfectly. And I've never seen anything from an explosion be made perfect. So it takes faith to trust in the living God, to commit ourselves into the living God. It takes faith, because it says there in Hebrews, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is and is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. So, yes, it takes faith. And in 1 John 9, just some other words of encouragement is the words of Jesus. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, and not only forgive us, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we were sharing a little bit about that last night, how faithful God is in that. As we came through many ugly years of my life that was stained in the past, He did that. I witnessed that. I witnessed the power of God. And again, that just shows me his longing to see a man cleanse, see a man walk in peace, see a person walk in freedom. God is willing to take those things that was hindering my walk with Him, all the thoughts and all the evil things that I had, and He took and He cleansed them. And He took them from me. As it says there in Ezekiel, He took that stony heart and give us a fleshly one. I think that's the next one. Ezekiel says, and I will sanctify my great name and will profane among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am thy Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen. That's God. He's telling the Israelites here, I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of the countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be cleansed from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. That is the love of God. He's willing to take us, a man that's filthy, an ungodly person, and take us and to cleanse us and to purify us for His glory, so that someday we can be reconciled with Him and spend eternity. He says, a new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I give your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Think about that. I will be your God. He loves to watch over us. He loves to lead us and guide us if we're allowing Him to do that. I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for your corn and increase it, and lay no famine upon you. That's the God we serve. Are you serving Him? I trust we are. God is a relational God. When I read these verses of the promises of God, it excites me. He's relational. He's the one that longs to walk with us and to fellowship with us. And we know it's not God's heart that anyone would perish, but all come to repentance. That is the heart of God. So that is, thou art mine. That's verse 1. Verse 2, it says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And my mind goes to Psalms 23 there, as David says here, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's nothing else that means more to me than the Lord. I shall not want. There's nothing else that means that I desire more than God. That's David's heart. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's David's heart. He will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I trust that we will not let nothing come in our lives. Remember, I'm talking to the children of God. Nothing that will come in and separate us from the love of God. Remember, He says that nobody can do that except it's yourself. And Paul's... some of Paul's last words here in Timothy. As he was, I believe he was sitting in prison here. And the hope that he had within, or the relationship that he had with his God. I'll just start from 2 Timothy 4, from 1 to 8. He's sitting in prison here, and he says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. He said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. But the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. And they shall turn away from their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou unto all things, endure afflictions, do the work of the evangelist, make full proof of the ministry. And some of Paul's last words here, he says, for I am now ready to be offered, at the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept my faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Then Paul says, not only me, but unto all those that love his appearing. And we see Paul here. He was going through many afflictions and challenges here. But he knew his God. And God knew him. They were one. And that's what we need to be. No matter what may come, that our love for God will not be separated. We might face some persecution as things are starting to change fast, it seems like. Just in the last 5 years, 20 years, whatever, but especially in the last 5 years, making some changes. We don't have to fear that. If we have our heart and if we are connected with Jesus Christ, we might lose our head. We might be killed, but we can't be separated from God. Just in words of encouragement, let's not forget that. I know it's nothing new to you. In Matthew 10, a few words here Jesus encourages us with here. Starting on verse 24. I think I wrote down the wrong reference here. No, I did. Okay, just from 24 to 28. It says, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as a master, and the servant as a Lord. If they have called the master of the house, Beelzebub, how much more shall they call him of the household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness shall be... That shall speak ye in the light, and that ye hear in the ear that preach ye upon the housetops. In 28, it says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Fear them that are which are able to kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body into hell. So have that fear of God. Like I said, they can kill us, they can destroy this body, but they cannot change our soul. They cannot separate us from God. So verse 3 and 4 here in Isaiah, it says, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, the Savior. I give Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore, I will give men for thee and people for thy life. Now, I don't know if I understand this 100%, but hear what he's telling his people. I give Egypt for thy ransom, he's telling Israel. For the love of his people, he took the heathen. And I don't know how many lives were involved here. But he said, I give Israel for the ransom for thee. And we can just relay that right over to us, the children. We're children of God. The ransom that he did for us. And that was just the men there in Egypt. He says, in verse 4, it says, since thou wast precious in my sight. You're precious in the sight of God. Don't forget that. Thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. We see that he gave thousands and thousands of Egyptians that died to bring out Israelites, bring the Israelites out of there so that he could teach them the ways that he wanted to teach them. He gave many, many people for the children of God. Then, it says, that then God gave his, that's not it, then God gave his only begotten son so that we can have everlasting life. Think of that. His only son. I ponder that. I got one son, Jaden. I love him much. And I think of that often as I think of Abraham taking his son, Isaac, to offer him, God offering his son. If I don't show you the love of God for each and every one of us, if you don't grasp that, you're not going to. So he did that so we could sit around the throne of God with him and worship and praise and be with him for eternity, forever and ever. We owe him our all, don't we? We owe God our all. There should be no selfishness. There should be no self left in us. There cannot be any self in us. He says that we need to deny ourselves and pick up the cross and follow him. In Matthew 6, from 19 and 20. I was looking at the wrong verse. It says, lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust does corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do break through and steal. For where your heart is, and we heard that this morning, for where your treasures is, there will your heart also be. Ephesians 2. For grace are you saved through faith, it's not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man shall boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus into good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Each and every one of us, as Paul said, we are created for his workmanship in Christ Jesus into good works, which God hath before ordained. Some encouraging verses here, just several of them. You don't have to turn to these right here. Romans 5. It says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. In Hebrews, I have about five scriptures here I want to read before I go to the next point. Hebrews 1. Hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heirs of all things, in whom he also made the worlds, who, being in the brightness of his glory, and was the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Isaiah 18 is a few verses. I should have wrote them down, some of these, but I didn't have time, so I'm sorry. Isaiah 18. Isaiah 1, verse 18. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The 19 says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And 1 Peter 2. It says, verse 21, for even unto were we called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us the example that we should follow his steps, who did not know sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live into righteousness. By those stripes ye are healed. For ye were as sheep gone astray, but ye are now returned to the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which you have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Praise God. Okay. Isaiah 5, back to there, verse 4 and 5. I'll finish up here in a little bit. I don't have much more. It says in verse 4 or 5, fear not, I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and from the west and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, my daughters from the far ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yeah, I have made him. You know, as we think about, he will bring them far as from the east and from the west. And I think the brother already touched on this verse here, what I want to share in Luke 12. Verse 31, 32, it says, but rather seek you the kingdom of God and all those things that shall be added unto you. Then Jesus says, fear not, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And I ponder that. It's completely different from when I had the picture I had in my mind years ago. Years ago, I thought we were going to have to somehow sneak by God to get into the kingdom of heaven. And we know that was going in the back way. But here is God, it's his good pleasure to give each and every one of you the kingdom of God. To hand you the king, to hand you, and to put that crown on you. It's his good pleasure. And I think of that. It's a beautiful thought. As God longs for us to be together in heaven someday. And that's exciting. If God be for us, who can be against us? And we know nobody. If God be for us. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go prepare a place for you. David touched on that yesterday, and that was a beautiful thought. You know, as Jeremy, he spent several weeks or months preparing for his home there for him and his wife. This is over 2,000 years that Jesus said this, I go prepare a place for you. It must be a beautiful place. You know what makes it the most beautiful? As I was pondering that yesterday, what makes it the heaven the most beautiful picture you can imagine. That is being separated from sin. Being it won't be tempted anymore of sin, one thing, but being with God. Eternity. Ponder that. That's going to be sooner than later, that we're going to be sitting around the throne of God, looking to Him. I don't know how that'll be. But as I ponder that, I'm ready for that. I'm waiting, but I'm patiently waiting. I think He has more work for us to do. That's why we're still here. But He said, "In my house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know, the way you know." Thomas said, "Lord, which way do you go? We don't know the way." And Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man come to the Father but by me." Okay, one more verse here. In Isaiah, the last one, it talks about in verse 6 and 7. He says that everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yeah, I have made him. And as I go back to Ezekiel 36 there, he says there are many times that told the Israelites there, he said, I didn't do it for your glory. He says, I did it for my holy name's sake. And Ezekiel 36 says, "Therefore saith he unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whether you went." And he brings out the children of God, churches. He brings these out from the month of darkness. Not for any of you, really, but for his sake, for his holy name's sake, for his glory. That's the purpose. Yes, he brought us out so we didn't have to go to hell. Yeah, but he did it for his honor and his glory. Another verse, he says, "Not for your sakes I do this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded by your ways, O house of Israel. I do it for my name's sake, that we can dwell with the land he gave to the fathers." Okay, I think I'll just bring this to a close here. Let me read one more in 2 Timothy 1. And a few more thoughts. Wherefore, as Paul says here, that I just want to share this with you as well. "Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by putting on my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of his prisoner, but be a partaker of his afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, Paul says, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed into him against that day." And I trust that's our heart, that we can trust God. What we committed into him, Paul says, what I committed to him, I trust that he'll keep that into that day. So I'm going to leave you with that. God bless you. And someday we can hear those words, "Well done." As David, someone shared yesterday, some of the most horrifying words that you ever will hear: "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." That'll be your calling. If you walk from here without repenting until Jesus comes back. You'll hear those words, I promise. But we don't need to hear those. We have the Word of God. And as I was sharing last night, you know, if you're in here and you're saying, oh, Christian life is too hard. As I was talking with Paul here, an ungodly life is the hard life. I walked that for 30 years of my life. Lived it as my flesh wanted to live, but it was hard. I had guilt and I had torment day after day after day because I knew that if I die, I was going to go to hell. But I had no victory. That's a hard life. A Christian life is fulfilling. It gives you peace, joy. It also gives you eternal life. You can live forever with God. So may God be with you.